Welcome everyone for the weekly English discussion for 1 hour, and I'm sorry that I have forgotten, and therefore there was a kind of a time lapse, but anyway we have almost 1 hour, like, so I would like to invite for the formal start of the discussion with the reading of this particular sutta.
My Swami Nasa, so actually we are discussing Sangyutta Nikaya, Connected Discourses of the Buddha, and we have reached a sutta called Kutika Sutta. So this is the 19th sutta of the Sangyutta Nikaya, and I'll read the Pali verse, and then the other venerables will recite the English translation and the Sinhala translation, and then Bhante can give an explanation. So at one time Buddha was dwelling at Savatthi, Jethavanarame, and at that time one deity approached the Buddha, and he recites a verse like this. Kachite kutika natthi, kachi natthi kulavaka, kachi santanaka natthi, kachi muttosi bandhanati. I'll repeat the verse. Kachite kutika natthi, kachi natthi kulavaka, kachi santanaka natthi, kachi muttosi bandhanati. Then Buddha answers like this. Taghame kutika natthi, tagha natthi kulavaka, tagha santanaka natthi, tagha muttosmi bandhanati. So I invite Venerable Dhamma Alankara to recite the Sinhala translation, and then Dhamma Osada to recite the English translation.
අවසරයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්ස කුටිකා සූත්‍රය සවැත් නුවර දෙවි කිම මුඹ වහන්සේට කුටියෙක් නැද්ද කිම මුඹ වහන්සේට කැදලි නැද්ද කිම මුඹ වහන්සේට කුල ප්‍රමේණියු නැද්ද කිම බන්ධනයෙන් මිදුනේයිද භගවත්තු එකත්නෙන් මට කුටියෙක් නැත එකත්නෙන් මට කැදලි නැත එකත්නෙන් කුල ප්‍රවේණියු නැත එකත්නෙන් මම බන්ධනයෙන් මිදුනේමි
Sai Swami Nanse, the English translation by Bhikkhu Bodhi is titled A Little Hut. And the first verse is, don't you have a little hut? Don't you have a little nest? Don't you have any lines extended? Are you free from bondage? And the Buddha responds, surely I have no little hut. Surely I have no little nest. Surely I have no lines extended. Surely I'm free from bondage.
And I'll continue. Shall I continue, Swami Nuhansa?
Yes, you may give your opinion or your interpretation, please.
So actually, I like to mention like this here. So sometimes actually now here, this deva, this deity is asking whether you have a kuti or whether you have a nest. And Buddha says, I don't have a kuti and I don't have a nest, and I am basically freed. And I remember there's another sutta where Buddha is mentioned as a one who doesn't have any dwelling place, the anokasari. So Buddha was called as anokasari, and typically all others are okasari. Particularly the other worldly beings are called okasari. Okasari means that they are always associating a particular place, always associating a house, a place, every time attached to something, some place, and this is my house, this is my place. So likewise, there's a kind of attachment. But Buddha is called anokasari because there is no any such kind of a bondage, any kind of a such attachment. And there's a further deeper meaning to that. So why someone is called okasari? So that is explained in the Halidhikani Sutta. It is mentioned that typically the consciousness is associating one of the other aggregates. Either it associates the form aggregate, either it associates the feelings aggregate, either it associates the perceptions aggregate, or either it associates the formations aggregate. The idea is whatever the consciousness aggregate associates, there it finds a dwelling place, there it finds a kuti, there it finds a home, so that it will lash there, so that it will dwell there and attach to that and hinder there. But when it does not associate any place, then we can say it is completely freed, completely released. Then it is called anokasari, na nimittanusari vinyanam hoti. Typically there are no such dwelling place, then the vinyana, the consciousness is completely freed. So the Buddha's consciousness therefore is mentioned like it is a freed consciousness. We can say a completely liberated consciousness. There is no any attachment, any grasping, any hindrance. So it's a kind of a completely boundless, no boundary type of a state. And so that's why typically it is called anokasari. There is no dwelling place. We can say in the from the mundane term that he has no attachment to any of the physical dwelling place. But in a deeper sense, we can say the consciousness is no more associating anything to grasp. So it is unestablished. And again, it is completely freed. So this is something, Swaminas, I thought of adding here. And Swaminas can add something more, please.
To the same line, we can say Animitta appanihita. Animitta means there is nothing to represent. There is no manifestation, no manifested signs. Appatitta means there is no place. It is dwelling. In the Hindu tradition, it says nirguna, no any attribution, no any character. Is such consciousness is worth calling consciousness? That is the great thing. The consciousness is always with an attachment, always with a sign, always with its quality, and always located. We call it address. Address nathi wenna gahanawai kiyala kiyanne. Address, that is a place. So when we are going to apply for a visa, passport, anywhere, we are asking the address. Because they want to locate you. Why? Do you think it is for your well-being? This is how you have been attacked by the drones. Everyone knows your location. Now, all the Google information and the American way, the Jewish way, they attack Hezbollah leaders, they attack Osama, and they attack a lot of people. That is, we think we are well connected. But what happened is, the address is taken. So the Buddha invented the term Atammeta. There are some kutis. There are some, the our nests. And there are some, all the kind of things. But I am not claiming, I am disclaiming it. I am not claiming. So this is not civilization. This is not the mass media. So therefore, artificial intelligence is vast, inviting and progressing and diversifying with a location. That location is very, very important. That's called pivotal point. We call benchmark and we call the starting point. And each and every object, worldly object, always reaching that the pivotal point and reaching the target. So much so you are a slave. But in the eightfold path, when you reach that, that is dissolved. Your target is dissolved. That means you are dissolved. So that's the biggest disappointment on the earth. So therefore, each and every appointment, each and every motivation, each and every creativity is the creation of suffering. So therefore, you have to do is have less creative, non-suffering, limited suffering in order to get rid of huge load of suffering. That's called Kama Loka. You are getting rid of with the help of Rupa Loka. Rupa Loka means anapana, left and the right, and the rising and falling, that kind of thing. So it is difficult, but it is not so difficult. Then you know then you know the pivotal point. You know your object of meditation. You know your benchmark. So much so you know you're completely away from moral distraction, immorality. And you are utterly protected. And you have some only obsessional defilements. And you can define them. This is what I have. And then once that obsessional also gone, that particular object start to dissolve. That particular benchmark going to dissolve. Your mindfulness is going to dissolve. Your boundaries in the body going to dissolve. Your time and space dimensions getting mingled with each other. There are no. So it appears like disappointment, disagreeable. It appears like fault finding. So human mind is always, whenever there is irritation, always try to get rid of the irritation. That's the way you get diversified. Only you have to understand when you are nearing the truth, when you are nearing the object, your irritation is increasing. Your disagreeability increasing. And still you have a perfection in your mind, the pedantic idea. And then you find fault with others. Instead, still, your being is the main fault. The main disagreeable thing. The main irritation. So be with it. That is, we call austerity. We call tapas. We call hermit. And then dwelling is called hermitage. So that hermitage is the word meaning of the sutta, Kutikara Sutta. So therefore, we have to have a kuti in order to get rid of the world. And then have kuti, get rid of the kuti, considering each and every kuti is mine. So your bondage to your kuti, kuti is kuti. You have to take care about and housekeeping and everything. But not buying it. So the Buddha in the sutta, it says, your mother is the main binding, kuti. And your wife is the making the cradle, the cage, that's like a bird. And likewise, we are in utter mess. It's utterly disagreeable, utterly irritation. We consider this as life. We can say just samsara. So we have a desire for samsara and fear of freedom, fear of unknown. So the unknown is known as irritation. Unknown is known as disagreement. Unknown is says that I am not perfect, that is why I am lost. So unknown is Buddha is recognized as atamayata. So these things are never been taught. Never been taken as a topic for day-to-day popular Dhamma talks. But we in Nisarnavanaya, our tradition are given enough nutriments for that. But still that is not enough. Still we have to practice and see, while you are practicing, how the irritation happens, how the monotony happens, how the self-criticism happens, how the fault-finding with others happens. How the disagreeability happened. I will prepare a meditation hall, no mosquitoes, no flies, no wind currents, air conditioned, soundproof and everything. So likewise, we become pedantic. So basic thing is, you become unmindful. That is what people are wasting their time, meditating time and freedom, thinking this is good for the mankind. No, it's utter waste. You are boosting your ego. Enough meditation halls are there in the world. Enough dwelling places are there in the world. Forests are there. Go and practice. And while practicing, you will understand how to detach from the dwelling, how to detach from your point of focus, I mean the object. And when it is dissolving, you feel so free, you feel so dislodged, you feel so outcasted. Then mind becomes anjabajat. It is called manyana. It's called start thinking and fearful and uncertain and vomitish and irritation and allergic reactions. So this is full in meditation world. So therefore, asylum and the meditation hall is exactly the same. Meditation hall is called as asylum. So this is provoking. is provoking uncertainty. So therefore, those who do not know meditation, specifically vipassana is for that, they will disappointed. They will find fault with the teacher and the place and the meditation tactic. I mean, object of meditation. So always the question papers and the interview reports are for that. So that means they are really engaged, but outwardly looking. How to pacify, how to evade irritation, how to evade dissatisfaction or unagreeability, how to do perfection, how to evade others' faults. So these are not relevant. But world says, my civilization says, that is, you are very relevant. So therefore, take care. But the main thing the wise people know, whenever you turn your attention to them, you are simply not mind. You are simply not here and now. So therefore, if you are thinking about the creativity and modernity and establishment and constitution and all the kind of things, first and foremost qualification is you must not be mindful. So this is where you can understand mindfulness is balanced with the wisdom and the compassion. The compassion side is giving little soft end to these kinds of things. Wisdom side is very cut and dry. So therefore people will not be happy. You are not a lovable person. You are not an agreeable person. But long lasting. You have a long life. But the thing is, very exhausting, very costly. So we are in a very advanced situation in this situation. But if you go prepared, your catalytic energy will understand, I can do it. Don't complain. Don't demand something. Just continue. If it is so, you are the best yogi. You are making use of the opportunity maximum. And you can see, very difficult to share with others. So they expect perfection before the Nibbana. That is what today meditation centers are. They are complaining for these little things. They are demanding so much of things. So therefore, the monastic and the monks, they are pathetically sick. Pathetically sick. And they expect their assistants to be perfect. They are expecting donors to be perfect. Expecting the kuti dwelling sa to be perfect. And the silence must be perfect. But they are the utter nuisance. They are the people that are talking and talkative. Making noise. And daily making kuti. More you stay in the kuti, more you get bounded into the kuti. So therefore, Nisanvane, early principle says, don't leave Nisanvane. Unless otherwise you become enlightened. That is one of the five principles they had. So when I'm going there, people complain me, Nisanvane is the Arahant factory. And other place close by is called Sohan factory. So if you are going, that means you are invariably claiming you try to be a enlightened, fully enlightened. When I go there, I heard some rumors and fabrications, how that rumor spread. So I found that everywhere it is there. People bounded with that meditation center, bounded with the teacher, and bounded with the object of meditation. Then these three things the Deva is asking, Buddha is attribution to them. And that is why we have to think about and halfway quotations presented by Venerable Chandaratana and Venerable Jnanananda given so much of quotations from the suttas, that they are more appear to be Mahayana taste. So they have been highly quoted in the Mahayana new suttas. And therefore they find fault with the traditional development of the linear method. But linear method is highly appreciated in the D.T. Suzuki's book, Zen Mind, the Beginner's Mind. You must be a beginner. Don't try to think about this the up in the clouds. And therefore, balancing these two come between the Maha Karuna, Maha Panya, or compassion and the wisdom. So in the end is wisdom, yes. But the compassion is the limbs in your walking. You must understand how to use this, but without damaging your head. So we can continue with the discussion. I feel enough for the moment.
Ehemai Swaminnahansa, so I am reading the next verse. And then again, as a reply, this deity is telling like this. Kintahang kutikam brumi, kinte brumi kulavakam. Kinte santana kang brumi, kintahang brumi bandhananti. I'll repeat it again. Kintahang kutikam brumi, kinte brumi kulavakam. Kinte santana kang brumi, kintaham brumi bandhananti. And then Buddha answers like this. Matarang kutikam brusi, bhariyang brusi kulavakam. Putte santanake brusi, tanhang me brusi bandhananti. So may venerables, others may recite the translations.
Avasarai Swaminnahansa. Devi, mama kumak nubavahanseta kutiya kota kiyamda. Kumak mubavahanseta kadalla kota kiyamda. Kumak mubavahanseta kula praveniya kota kiyamda. Mama kumak mubavahanseta bandhane kota kiyamda. Bhagavattu, mava mata kutiya kota kiyahi. Birinda kadalla kota kiyahi. Putrayan kula praveni kota kiyahi. Trushnava bandhana kota kiyahi.
In the English translations, the Deva says, what do you think I call a little hut? What do you think I call a little nest? What do you think I call lines extended? What do you think I call bondage? And the Buddha replies, it's a mother that you call a little hut, a wife that you call a little nest, sons that you call lines extended, craving that you tell me is bondage.
So therefore, this is the connection between the absolute and the common sense. The common sense, you can say, mother is my dwelling place or my hermitage, and the wife is the beddings and all the other amenities, just like a bird's nest, and end product is children, and that is what the family life, and the main cause is desire. So therefore, if you are telling me my mother is my kuti and wife is my beddings and the kadalla or nest, and the children are the progeny and the tanna, I think it is good because I don't have them. Therefore, I am qualified. No, other people will not see this as the kind of a, this as a kind of a jelly, this as kind of a nest, this as kind of a progeny. They consider the tanna is the main source for them to happen. So therefore, they are so happy to love their mothers, so happy to love their wives. And they can, this is a classic, this is a civilization. This is the full of love. It's called a better half. And the children, they can't think about other than that. If there are no wife, no children, you are not a human. That is what the people are thinking. To be a full-fledged human, you must have built up your house and a wife and a child. And if they are not there, you can't get American citizenship. And it's a crime. It's a crime. If you are going to do politics and still if you are not married, you will consider as a gay. They will not vote you. So they are nearing the this thing, they marry. And if there are no children, people will consider you are impotent. And that is how the world is running. So against the grain, if you are to say goodbye to the mother and wife and the children, so that we have done. Therefore, we have done a great lot, But we have a desire for the Rupa Loka, for our meditation object. We have a desire for sati, mindfulness. We have a desire for our wisdom. We have a desire for our concentration. So then, again, you are trapped. In singular discussion, we found how the Vepachitti, the bondages are there. So therefore, you can't live without desire. Therefore, the Buddha says, lose the gross desire with the help of manageable medium kind of desire. And medium kind of desires naturally dissolve it. Naturally in a flux. Naturally in a disarray. Naturally give it irritation. So therefore, once you reach the materiality or Rupa Loka, you have to be happy that you are away from the Kama Loka. But Rupa Loka is not a stable place. Don't get irritated. Don't get disappointed. Don't expect a confirmed Rupa Loka, pedantic. Don't find fault with others because my Rupa Jhana, Rupa understanding is weak because other people are not giving the support. They are not mendicants. They are not ascetics. They have no, they are waiting for a dwelling. So therefore, that area is against the civilization, against the grain, and much, much potential, high potential area. So you must have so much of preparedness, merit, must have so much of prepared mind, mindset to that. But lucky thing is, good thing is, if that is accepted, meditation progress is very, very fast. This boredom is very close by. It is around under your nose. But thing is, we are not ready. We are always expect that to be happen very slow. So therefore, meditation is slow. So therefore, meditation is happening in the S-shaped curve. At the beginning, very flat. And then only gaining the ground. And when it is reaching, it's again flat off. And don't X-axis is reaching without Y-axis development. So S-shaped curve is very famous in economic development. So that is happened. And again, another wave starts. And likewise, it is pushing forward without scale effect, without economics of scale. It is how it happens, very difficult to imagine. Because you are losing all your dwellings, all your beddings, all your progenies, and all your desire. And that's also kind of a desire. That's also kind of a desire. That is what we call the prepared mind. That is what we call the mindset. And it is not belongs to you. It is universal. It's called Dhammata. And yeah, Nyaya Dharma is the law of the nature. And we think that going against the grain. But the Sansara is something going against the grain. Nibbana is flawless, frictionless, comfort zone. It's so prominent, so under your very nose. But our ignorance is not happy to take it so quickly, otherwise you will mentally break down. Or physically, you disqualify yourself. So therefore, having that prepared mind, having that mindset, is highly discussed present day in the education system. How to prepare that preparedness, how to prepare that mindset. This is difficult because highly educated people are idiots. They don't have this this thing, because if they are going to declare this preparedness, the children are more qualified than the, all the duns. So therefore, they are doing it very, very slowly. But lucky enough, we are in an era, it's accepted in education circles. So that is what we have to think about artificial intelligence and the mindfulness, how these things are connected with the directed in terms of moral shame and moral fear. And they are subjects. So therefore, one has to understand how we give values for this kind of social benchmarks, pivotal points like mother, wife, and the children. And if you are not fulfilling them, you are not a civilian. You are not a civilized person. You are a black sheep, a dirt in your eye. So therefore, people will disconnect you and chase away from the clan. So therefore, I like the book Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and whenever he is learning, his family is outcasting him, and he still cut through. It is quite a classic in that sense. So we have to learn it in a very, very slow way, because our mind do not like the truth. Okay?
Hey, my Swaminas, actually we just have another single verse. So as a acknowledgement, this deity is saying like this: Sahu te kutika natti, sahu natti kulavaka. Sahu santanaka natti, sahu muttosi bandhanati.
අවසරයි ස්වාමීනස දෙවි මැනවි මුඹ වහන්සේට කුටියෙක් නැත මැනවි කැදලි නැත මැනවි කුල ප්‍රවේණීහු නැත මැනවි බන්ධනයෙන් මිදුනේහි
අවසරයි ස්වාමීනස the last English verse says it's good that you have no little hut good that you have no little nest good that you have no lines extended good that you are free from bondage
so that is how when the proper interpretation given, even the God can understand. That's because of intermediate few verses from the absolute truth to the common sense. So one day in the discussion, Jesus Christ was in the center, house full. And one messenger come and says, Virgin Mary came and your mother came, wanted to meet. Then the Jesus Christ said, I don't have a mother. I am a son of God. Ask them to go away. So people, for the compassionate kind of people, I mean, Mother Teresa, Mother Virgin Mary, churches will not be happy, but it is in the Bible. So likewise, Upanishad says, when you become a great master, they should not have a retinue of children, the yogi is following you, if it is so something wrong. And Krishnamurti, whenever he is traveling as the chieftain of the star organization, that plane is always charter plane, full of cooks and the tailors and everything. And he says, that is not the way. You must be independent. And he give a example. You don't try to be a follower. Try to be the master. I mean, don't inferior. So one day, in the top of the mountain, cool place, a monk was making a Buddha statue with a log of chandana wood.
Sandalwood.
And he was chipping off. And then the Kapakaru is about to leave. He come and says, Bande, not enough firewood. And night is going to be very, very cool. But the monk is so engaged, carving everything. And the last drop finished. Then the Kapakaru is, or the assistant is coming and telling, all the firewood finished. He asked them to all the chips, sandalwood to burn. Because he wanted to continue. And now he's become chilled. And he's about to die. And Kapakaru gone. So what to do? He split the Buddha statue, put it into the fire. Otherwise he has died. So that is how you have to burn your best creation. to mother, wife, children, and everything. Otherwise, you know liberation, you have to die. So he gives that example because that followers. Ultimately, the day he becomes the competent authority, he dissolves the star organization. And still people remember him. And all the masters suffer this question. Who Pandit said one day mentioned to Vivekananda, Venerable Vivekananda, when you become popular, be careful about your relatives. Don't go close. So they never think about this absolute truth. They want to take you down in order to get the materialistic support. And you also feel like supporting them. Ultimately, what happens is a wrong example, wrong role model. Best thing is to do away with it. So therefore, Kaudhanyame ayo, nada ayo, ayo, nada. So always they say, naba. That is what you call relative, relative. Therefore, once you become ordained, run away to the place, no one can listen, your relatives, no one can see you, and that is a kind of a heaven. So it appear like negative, appear like unsocial. That's why in the Nishanavane, in the big wall, at the wall picture, after climbing the mountain, throw away the ladder. Otherwise, you feel like getting down. You have to have some kind of a connection. But in the Buddha Kassapa, last sasana, that is how they started. So therefore, appear like suicidal. Appear like suicidal. So therefore, those who are thinking in this very life, liberation in this very life, that their behavior is completely different. Others are very conservative. Others are very grammatic. Others are very systematic. And they are doing, they will get enough appreciation from the society. But internal, that you are confirming your mother, confirming your wife, confirming your progeny, that means the kuti, beddings and the nesting, and then the progeny. So that bondage, present day, these monks and the, how to call it, abbot, are utterly in suffering. So they are ordaining so much of monks and so much disobedience. And it's like a divorce. Very difficult. But if we not divorce, they are not disobedient, they ordain, they can't dwell. Ultimately, they will commit suicide. So therefore, we are understand how agony, what an agony to be a leader. It's a cost. People think leaders are much better than the followers. And it's a duty to have the children, the relationship between the chieftain and the disciple. But the Buddha at the last deathbed, he asked, do you have any expectation about me? I don't have any expectation. No one speak. No one talk. Because everyone at least sotapan. No such a relationship. So today Buddha Sahasana Matyans, they always try to give a relationship. Giving a kuti and giving a bank account and all kind of things. That is because they are lack of understanding to the Dhamma, but they are understand the religion. Isam. Isam means these three. The kuti and the nesting and the progeny. That's called pavatta. Nibbana is called apavatta. End. So therefore, each and every misstep in your life is a sign for these three. You can understand how much you are suffering. That means you have so much of the last attribution is tanha. That is what gets hurt. So therefore, let that happen before your death. Otherwise, your deathbed will be an agony. So before the death, if you have all the missteps, you have a mindset. You have the preparedness. So that is what I thought of sharing in this moment.
We have a comment, Swaminansa, from our side.
Avasai Bhante, this is Dhammoshada. Thank you for that inspiring comment. it really spoke to me when you talked about throwing away the ladder, like in the case of those five ascetics. And it reminds me of a story that I once read about Spanish explorers. They were called conquistadors. These were Spanish explorers of recent centuries. What they would do is they would travel by ship to an unknown land or unknown island, and they would burn, they would literally set the ship on fire once they got onto the shores to make sure that they accomplish what they had come to do. So that kind of determination, it's really inspiring. And sometimes I think to myself, our parents, our spouses, our children, like the Buddha says, they cannot save us. They cannot save us from suffering. So I suppose we should throw away our parents and our spouses and our children. But of course, this comes with a level of maturity after you see that, you know, existence is suffering and the only way out is to be free from everything and from everyone. So that idea of throwing away the ladder, like in the case of those ascetics, I just find it inspiring. It's personally inspiring to me. That's just what I wanted to share. Thank you.
That is why I came to Anuradhapura, leaving you all there mercilessly. I don't feel regret. And I am, after the Vastavada season, I have to fly away. And I don't, early I had some sense of responsibility and this was kind of a disappointment and kind of thing. But slowly, slowly it is happening because of this discussion. And you bloody fellows are coming from African countries and living with us very happily. Why not? Kalu Hamdo. So therefore we must live an exemplified life. If it is not so, you are cheating yourself. Your vipassana is not good. But it is, don't expect it is in the very fast way. It's happening painfully slow. But I am telling, we are at really, really advanced. We are really, really setting an example, because our age is something. Whole world is burning. Whole world is nuclear war. Now fighting each other like animals, worse than animals. But we are spreading mindfulness. We are living in mindful family. And we are learning from the mindful campus. No friction. No one can understand how the governments are changing, the ministers are changing, people are changing, but the mindfulness is steady. Because we have no expectation. If it is happening, good. If it is not happening, still good. So Maharshi Sayadaw used to say, when someone is coming and asking respectfully, Bande, please advise me, he's ready, he's having some group meditation and group walking system and all the kind of things. But there are sometimes no one, no followers. You are living alone. Then he says, if there is no one, I advise myself. This is the best time you to understand when someone close to, something close to that, when Jnananda also mentioned, if there is no one, the best advice for me. So there is not a loss. It's not a de-corner. It's not the de-casting. You are training yourself to be de-cast, outcasted, and cornered. Loneliness become aloneness. So that change is what I call the evolution of the mind. That stopped 20 billion ago for the human, or millions ago. People are not improving. They do not know how to do away with the self. They are always promoting self by external development. But internalization The Buddha explains how within 7 years, you can evolve. But people never, people follow Charles Das with evolution and adaptation and the survival of the weakest. So this one, the Buddha explained, and after doing it, not like Charles Darwin going to the Galapagos Island and finding the big turtles. So therefore, this is very, very challenging, very, very non-traditional and revolutionary. That evolution is, people have forgotten and they are thinking something else in the worldly evolution. Radical ideas about the external world. That is how even animals are doing. So therefore you have to be a best animal, no harm. But think about this, that it is suicidal. It is something like self-destructive. So therefore very difficult for God to live in that sphere. You have to establish yourself for the God to establish. Or a synagogue or a church. But if there is, you are not there, but the hell, they are the God to live. So therefore, you are the creator of God, not the God created you. So this idea is bringing you at home, back home. You can live without mother, live without wife, live without the progeny. You can live without the house, without any cuddling with the cages, and without the pavatma, continuity. No, it is, continuity is the nature. You try to understand it, so therefore this is a kind of a revolution we want. Good sutta.
Swaminahansa avasarai, so we are reaching the closer to the Pindapatha. So I suggest to wind up the session then.
Yes, please.
Hey, my Swaminahansa, I invite Venerable Dhammosa to share the merits.
Good.
May our relatives and all beings share in the merits produced by today's teaching. May all celestial beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching, and may they protect the Dhamma exposition and dispensation of the Buddha for a long time. May the seeds of the Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for sharing merits.